Now, Lord, it's the vision of my heart. And there's no one else in my heart. And I want to suggest, think about these words as they were sung all those years ago, but I've asked Jonathan to put up the more modern words for "you are my vision" rather than "be thou my vision." We're not asking to be our vision. We are confessing that he is our vision and he is the Lord of our hearts.
Thank you.
solo. Heart of my own heart, whatever before, still be my vision. A ruler of all. He is the King of Kings. And he's reigning here this afternoon. And he's sitting on his throne. And he's coming down and he's reigning right now. But he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And he has come. And he has come to set the captives free. He has come to set at liberty those who are bound. And he has come to release those who mourn into the joy of his strength, into the joy of who he is, and into the joy of all he has for us. And he's sitting on his throne right now. I want to talk to you this afternoon just a wee bit about the heart of Mary. But I first of all want to take you to two scriptures. If you have your Bibles, my good old chapel tradition. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And we've heard a lot about the ancient paths this weekend. We've learned a lot about the Celtic saints. We've seen the hearts of the Irish and the Scottish and the Welsh. And we've seen the hearts of the English and the American and the Germans and the French that are represented here this afternoon. And we've seen their hearts. And if we set our hearts for his ways, if we set our hearts after that ancient path, that we look back there to the ancient path and see what he did do, because he's faithful God, you know. Because he's faithful God. From the very beginning, from two trees in the garden, to when he comes and he sits on his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all the nations will come to Jerusalem and worship him at the Feast of Tabernacles. Acknowledge his ways and his paths. He will direct us. We all have individual paths to walk. We are all walking the same path, but in different ways. The same direction, but in different roads. The same way, but all of us have experienced in different times and seasons and things that we walk in. But we are all on a journey. We're on a journey. We're on a journey for the kingdom of God to be released in the earth. We're on a journey for the kingdom of God to come. We're on a journey for the kingdom of God to be released in this earth like never before, because we want him to come. And we say, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. You know, when the Lord was looking for a heart that was after his, he went to the house of a man called Jesse, who had quite a few sons. He said, I'm looking for one particular heart. And you know what God said to Samuel? He said, don't look on the outside. Don't look at the packaging, but look at the heart. Because I look at the heart. And God sought out a man after his own heart. And God sought out a man that's after his own heart. And that young man was David. David, who got to know God on the hillside of Bethlehem. David, who got to know God, singing songs and worship songs unto him. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your glory filled the heavens beyond the moon, the stars, as he tended his sheep on the hills of Bethlehem. And God said to Samuel, I look at the heart. And just for a few moments, before we look at Mary, I want you to look at Jeremiah 17. Verses 7 to 10, just a couple of verses. When Samuel had built the temple, which was after this period of Jeremiah, but when Samuel built the temple, and David built the temple, and Solomon was able to build it, as David was only allowed to bring all the things to have it built, Solomon told the people to serve the Lord with a whole heart, not half-hearted, but with a whole heart, and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches the hearts, he told the people. The Lord searches the hearts, and he understands every plan and thought of the heart. But in Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah, the beloved weeping prophet, that wept over the condition of the people, that saw the Father's heart for the condition of the people in exile. They were in exile. They were away from their country. They were away from everything. They were in an ungodly situation. And Jeremiah sought the Lord for the land and for the nation. And he cried, take us back. But he knew his scripture, 70 years they were in exile. And Jeremiah wept. And in verse 7 it says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, that puts their confidence in, that puts their whole heart in, that doesn't just put one foot in, but puts both feet in and says, my confidence is in God, who will bring his purposes to bear in the earth. And that man is to trust in the Lord. In the Lord, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And everything that his word says about him, and his character and his attributes and everything that he is, that he is the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fills this room. And whose hope, Jeremiah says, the Lord is. I love it when I come across the present continuous tension of to be or the I am and the is and the am. I love it. Because I think that's just as much for me today as it was for Jeremiah all those 2,500 years ago. It's just the same today. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope, whose refuge, whose stronghold is, who sets his heart on. They be like a tree firmly planted, a tree known for its firmness, planted by the waters and spreads out the roots. And that word there, roots, is an interesting one. It means the root that struck the soil. It means the root that's pushed into the earth. It means the root that's firmly gone right down deep. It's not superficial on the top that the birds of the air can take away. But it's struck. And it's by a river. And it shall not see when the heat comes any drought. But a leaf shall be green. It's the greenness of the leaves that he's producing in the fruits that comes from our lives that are rooted and grounded so deep in him. that our hearts would be moved from that spot and we could be safe and secure in Him. And we won't be careful in the year of droughts. There might be many of you here who are in a drought season, in a dry season. And oh yes, the joy is your strength. It's wonderful and it's glorious. But He's come to set the captives free, that we will be producing fruits, not be in a place of droughts. And verse 9 says, the heart. Our feelings, our mind, our emotions, all that we are wrapped up in our hearts before Him. And our hearts can be all so comfortable sometimes. Our hearts could be so considered and maybe courageous on times. And our hearts could be hard or merry, joyful or stiff or double-hearted or kind. Or willing, or broken. They could be wise hearts. They could be wells of wisdom flowing from our heart that's after God, that we have a word in season. But Jeremiah says a strange thing after this. The door is filled enough. He says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know the heart? Who can know it? Who can yardle the heart? Who can intimately be aware of the heart? Who can understand it and consider it and see it and perceive it and know it inside out? And Jeremiah answers. Well, the Lord answers Jeremiah. And He says, I, the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, I search the heart, I penetrate it, I examine it intimately, I find it and I search it and I seek for it and I look at it and I understand it and I open it and I see it and I perceive it. He says, I try, I investigate, I examine, I look up, I prove, I try the reins of the heart. The things that pull us, the things that cause us to have one step in the world and one foot in church, in His church, in His ecclesia. I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins. Even to give every person according to his ways, according to his journey, according to his pathway, according to the course or the mode of action of his life and the path that he's walking on day after day after day, day after day after day, walking on those paths. To give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The endeavours and the work and the things that he does. I found those challenging verses and I've meditated on them for weeks. And I ask the Lord to do this for me. Psalm 86, verse 11 and 12. Yay! Teach me your ways, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart. Your name. Another version says, unite my heart to fear your name. the voice version, which my son recommended to me. And I thoroughly enjoyed it since I bought it. It says, "Oh, eternal one, guide me along your path." Oh, I don't have my specs on, but oh dear. And we beheld his glory. pure of the yes of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. At the right time, Galatians tells us that God did, by sending his Son, born of a woman, born under the flesh, under the law, so we might be redeemed. Because we are not sinned, we are not saved with corruptible things such as silver and gold, and the futility of the Father's thoughts, that we are redeemed by the precious blood as of a lamb, the blood of Christ, who has redeemed us. And he chose Mary, chose a young girl, minding her own business in Nazareth, sitting there. Mary, a worshipper of God, a worshipper in her heart. And the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, Mary, favored one, you have been appointed to bear a son, and his name will be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. How can you speak, Lord, since I have not known a man? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and brood upon you, and that which is conceived in you will be of the Holy Spirit, and he will save the world. And that dear, precious teenager who had aspirations and desires and a road mapped out for herself and a journey to walk on with Joseph, the betrothed, that dear, precious young woman hated all town, and she said, be it done unto me as you have said. And I couldn't begin to understand what an enormous thing that was for little Mary's heart. But she took it with both hands. She took it with both hands. And she said, how is it, as she sang later when she went to see Elizabeth, how is it that my Lord has touched my life and given me such a privilege? And that precious young woman's heart said, my ear is pierced, Father God. I will be a doulos servant for you. I will be your doulos. I will be your doulos. I will be that sacrifice. I will be that sacrificial body. I will be that sacrificial life. I will be that sacrificial heart. And Jesus was born. Is one that says, I am willing. A doulos heart is one that says, I will be willing. I am willing, and I will always be willing. And the doulos heart says, all that I have, I give to you. Unite my heart, Lord. Give me an undivided heart. I also looked at a couple of other women's hearts just to finish. And I looked at the heart of Hannah, a woman who wanted a child. And I saw that God answered their heart's cry. And she birthed Samuel. She birthed the prophetic. She birthed the prophetic in her life. And I looked at Esther's heart. And I looked at a heart that was willing to say, I know that I have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. As we have today, come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Esther's heart said, if I perish, I perish, and I'm willing. I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm willing to perish. What a sacrificial heart. Queen Esther. We are queens before the Lord. And I looked at Lydia's heart. And Lydia's heart, you know the story in Acts 16, Paul the Apostle heard the call of the Macedonians to come over and preach the gospel. And the gospel was preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ was preached. And Paul arrived. And he couldn't find a synagogue because there weren't enough men. And so he went down to the riverside where he found a group of women praying. And one of them was Lydia, who was a worshipper of God, along with the other women. And as Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ that liberates, that sets free, that sets the captive free, he opened Lydia's heart like this, wide, like a door, a folding door that went straight. No cracks on this door that went straight. And she received the gospel of Jesus Christ and her heart was changed. How much of our hearts does he have? He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Before I finish, I just have to discharge what's in my heart. As I've been praying for this, I see the Lord Jesus as the shepherd, as the chief shepherd. And he's been walking up and down the aisles. And he's been walking in and through all of us. And he's been going along every chair. And he's been going along all the seats. And he's been going along all the dancing. And I just see him walking with his shepherd's crook. And he is actually looking to every one of our hearts. And he's ministered to every one of our hearts in different ways. And I just want to share what he told me, what he showed me. And some of you, he looked into your heart and he saw joy and worship and praise. Oh, and he loved it. He just stood by you and he took it all in. And then he came to the next. And there was a heart that was divided. And he longed for the heart to say, unite me, Lord, with you. To really know that you know that you know that you know that you are in him and that he is in you. And that you are co-crucified and co-united with him in his death and in his cross. And he came to another and he saw that the heart was bleeding. And he took her heart and he held it and he breathed on it. It stopped bleeding. And then there was another heart that was ragged, as if it had been broken, but semi-repaired. And he took a divine needle suture, and he began to sew the jagged edges. Because Jesus always says the will of the Father. Jesus always says the will of the Father. Jesus always says the will of the Father. And there are others. Your hearts were in different conditions. And sometimes we as people, we smile on the outside, but all might not be well on the inside. But Jesus sees, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus wants to repair those parts of you that are hurting and injured and in pain. And he wants to give you extra things that you need for repairing your heart. And those of you who are full of joy and everything has been cleansed and dealt with and ministered to by him, he's going to just give you more and more. But those hearts that he took into his hand and he pulsated them like this to bring them back to life. He brought those hearts back to life. Because he's in the business of restoring, 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 restoring. He's restoring us to the Maker's image, don't you know? He's restoring us to be the people that he wants us to be. He's restoring us to be the ecclesia that's going to rise up in the earth. He's restoring us so that all of us can ride on our stallions on the mountaintops and take the nations and the lands. He's restoring us to be the people that he wants us to be. To take the gospel to the nations so that his time can come. Because when the gospel has gone forth to the nations and the timing is right and the last person has come into the kingdom, then Jesus, then the end will come, and he will come riding on that massive white stallion with all of us behind him, the cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, all the Hebrews 12, the Moses and the Davids and all the Esthers and the Hannahs. But for us this afternoon, he wants to sit on the throne of our hearts. He wants to everything else to be vacated. And he alone to sit on the throne of our hearts. So that he can reign and he can rule. And that he can have his sovereign will in each one of our lives. Do you want that?
Yes.
I was going to ask Jonathan to promise the thing. I forgot to give it to him, so I'll read the words for you. Louise Shepherd came the other week. Oh, a delightful, delightful young woman. And she sang, oh, so beautifully. But there's this one song which I considered. I said to Abby, oh, if only I was a songwriter, I'd have written this song, but I am not. And I'll read the words and see if it touches your heart. And then we'll ask Holy Spirit to come and minister to each one of us. And we'll ask the musicians to come down. Listen to these words. Perhaps close your eyes. Please don't look at them. Before I read this, I want to read one verse from Philippians. Because this is the heart of Paul, and I think this is our heart. I know it's our heart for him. And the older version says, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection being conformed to his sufferings and to the resurrection from the dead." But in the waste translation, which Justin and Rachel gave me for Christmas, I'm absolutely delighted in. It says, "For Paul, yes, for his sake I have been caused to forfeit all things, and I count them but dung, in order that I might come to know him, to gnosko him." Abby told us about yada, the Hebrew, but the Greek is gnosko, is the same. It's that intimate awareness of his presence. It's the intimacy of his presence and the ongoing intimacy of knowing him and perceiving him and understanding him. In exactly the same way as the angel after Jesus was born said to Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." And they came together and it said, and Joseph knew Mary. It's that same intimacy of his presence. He says, "In order that I might come to know him in an experiential way, and to come to know experientially the power of his resurrection, and a joint participation in his sufferings, being brought to the place where my life will radiate a likeness to his death, if by any means I might arrive at the goal, namely the out-resurrection from among those who are dead." Can I read that again? "And I count them but dung in order that I might know him in an experiential way, and to come to know experientially the power of his resurrection, and a joint participation in his sufferings, being brought to the place where my life will radiate a likeness to his death, if by any means I might arrive at the goal, namely the out resurrection from among those who are dead." I'm not apologizing for bringing you a serious word. Because I think the cry of the Father's heart is that we should know him. Know him so deep in our hearts that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who we are, Ecclesia. That's who we are. We are in Christ Jesus, and he is in us. We've been born again by the Spirit of God, which lives, remains, abides, and stays within our hearts. Please just quiet your hearts before the Lord and do business with the Lord. Allow the chief shepherd to come and operate on your hearts in whatever capacity he needs to. As I read this poem, consuming fire, passion and blaze of love, burning within me, consuming all of me. I want to be overcome by love, I want to be overwhelmed by you. I want to lose myself in the passion for your house. I want to lose myself in the passion for your house, for your name, for you. Consuming fire, passion and blaze of love burning within me. Louise wrote these words, you took a coal from Isaiah, you touched my mouth. Now I'm controlled by a fire of love for you. He took a coal from the altar and he touched Isaiah's lips. Can you imagine the sizzling and the burning and the smell as the angelic was all around with their fiery wings? And when the Lord said, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, you can send me. You took a coal and you touched my life. Now I'm controlled by a fire of love for you. Passion for your house completely controls me. Passion for your name completely controls me. A passion for you completely controls me, Lord. All the Lord needs is access to all areas of our hearts. Jesus. I don't think I can share anything else. I'll finish with the psalm I started with. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in the truth. Give me an undivided heart to fear your name. O Eternal One, guide me along your path so that I will live in your truth. Unite my divided heart so that I will fear your great name. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we honor your presence, Lord Jesus. We honor your presence, Lord Jesus. We honor your name, Lord Jesus. We honor you, Lord Jesus. You are the Lord. You are the Lord. And we honor your name. We honor your presence. How nice it is, Lord. And in your presence, this fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Mold me and make me. while I am seated. Have your own way. While I am still, have your own way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. shepherd. He's walking around. He's coming to show you. He's touching your heart. And he will minister to each one of you as you open your heart to him. He sees along the way that's injured, and he thinks, I'll place him onto my shoulders. So he lifts him and he carries him. And another little sheep is walking by the side of him, and he's ever so close to his leg. So the shepherd puts his hand into his pouch and he takes out some tidbits and he puts gives that little sheep as close to him. Nice choice to pick. But he was close. Because he pulled on his flock thing and said, I want more. I want more. And then as he's crouched down giving him what he sees over there, there's one that's getting away, and there's a thistle and a thorn bush over there, and so I better go over and rescue it. And that lovely shepherd goes over and he picks him up and he says, not that way, you come back on this bit of grazing here, because I got just the right grazing patch for you to feed yourself on. And in the distance, he sees another one heading, going for it to go up a big steep slope. Mr. Shepherd thinks he will not make it. So he gets his crook and he runs after him and he hooks him as if. Overwhelm you. Any drinks?